We're in Exodus 33 this morning. I'm going to tell you that as I get started into this message, I've been pondering quite a bit lately the promise that's given to us in Hebrews 11 that those who seek the Lord will be rewarded. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I am seeing more and more how that God has done that in the lives of many people that have visited and been connected with this ministry, and that God continues to bring people to us who are seeking for truth and wanting to grow. And I appreciate that, and it gives us an awesome responsibility. It's a privilege, but it's a responsibility, right? And so this morning, what I'm going to do, and I believe this is the direction that God has led us, and I'm going to tell you, for those of you who have not been around Brentwood Baptist Church very long, we spent some time a while back in Exodus 33 and 34 looking at Moses' relationship with God, and I believe just God has brought me back to that this morning. And so if you're here this morning with a true desire to worship God and a true desire to grow in your relationship with God, this message is for you. But please understand going into it that this is not a magic formula that if you just check these boxes, automatically you're going to be a mature Christian. Because growing in grace takes effort and time. And I want us to see that this morning. I want to begin in Exodus 33, verse 8, to get the backdrop to Exodus 34, which is where we're going to preach the sermon from. So beginning in Exodus 33, verse 8, we're going to have the introduction. But let me begin with a word of prayer. Father, we ask for your blessing upon us this morning as we read your word. And then, Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to the truths that you have for us. And God, we pray that as we leave here this morning, we will understand you better. And Lord, not just understand you better, but Lord, seek you with better understanding. Lord, we pray that the truths that are brought out of this passage this morning may not just pass through our ears, but that they may sink down into our hearts and cause us to desire a relationship with you and to grow in that relationship. And then, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us as we exercise the things that we've learned this morning. And in these things we pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Verse number 8, it says this, "And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Let me pause for just a moment. This is not part of the message, but I'm going to throw this in right now. With Moses was this young man by the name of Joshua. Joshua became the next leader to the nation of Israel, and he was a great leader. But at this point, God calls him a young man. He was Moses' servant. I want us to understand the impact and the influence of godly mentorship upon the next generation. And that could happen at all levels. If you're here this morning and you are up in years, you could be mentoring those that are younger than you. If you're here this morning and you're a teenager, you could be mentoring those that are younger than you. We need to be busy mentoring the youth. And in doing that, we can produce some great leaders for God. So that being said, let me keep moving. Verse 12, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight to consider that this nation is thy people. And in the next few verses, Moses makes three specific requests of God. The first one is given to us in verse 13. He says, show me now thy way. He's saying, God, I want to know your thoughts. I want to know your way of doing things. I want to see from your perspective. I want to know your paths so that I can walk in them and so that I can lead your people. Please show me your way. That's a good request. Verse 14. And he said, that is God, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Second request. If your presence isn't with us, don't send us. God, I want your presence. God, I can't do this without you. I want more than just to know your paths. I need to know your paths. I want to know your paths. I want to know your ways. But God, I want to walk them with you leading the way, knowing that you're with me. God, I've got to have your presence. If I don't have it, just don't even bother sending me. That's a good request, isn't it? Verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separate, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. One thing will cause us to stand out, God, and that is your presence. I say amen to that. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Third request. I honestly feel that these requests take place in a sequence that grows from the furthest away from God to the nearest to God. Because this request, verse number 18, is much more personal than the others. You see, the other requests was Moses partially asking so that he could lead God's people well. If you look at verse 13 and you look at verses 15 and 16, what you'll see is that Moses is asking partially for the reason of, God, it involves me leading your people. So I need to know your way. I must have your presence. But when we get to verse number 18, this is Moses' personal request. He's saying, God, I want to know you. And I want to know you in your fullness. I want to know about you. Please open my eyes to your glory. And this doesn't have to do with him leading the people. This has to do with Moses wanting an intimate relationship with his God. Now, these three requests by Moses are the results, are the result of Moses getting closer to God. And each request gets a little more intimate than the one before it. And that leads us to chapter 34. And so this morning I have entitled this sermon, Growing in My Time with God. And the idea is this, how do I grow my relationship with God? And I'm going to tell you that I know for a fact that there are some of you in this auditorium who desire a close relationship with God, and you are ready to surrender everything to God and to do whatever it is that he asks you to do. But I also know that there are some in this auditorium who have not gotten to that point in their life. There are some that may not even know how to go about that. And there are some individuals in here also that I'm convinced have a sin in their life that they're just not willing to let go. And it's some sort of rebellion or some sort of bitterness or some sort of reservation that God just needs to break down. But this morning I'm talking to those who want to grow in grace every day. And we can learn from Moses' life. So here it is. How do we grow in our relationship with God? Beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 34, it says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. Now chapter 33, the verses that we read in chapter 33 took place in the tabernacle. In verse number 34, God says to Moses, all right, now Moses, this is what I want you to do in order to come spend time with me. What do we see? Verse number 2, we see preparation. Look at verse 2 again. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. You know, sometimes when we begin to pray, we barge into places where angels fear to tread. And we need to understand that when we enter into the presence of a holy God, we are invited to do so boldly. Don't get me wrong, we can go boldly, but we need to be prepared. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about spending time with God and how to make that time profitable. And here it is. Number one, be ready. Prepare. Have a definite time set aside. A time that is not rushed. Keep in mind that you are entering into the presence of God. Let me remind you of this, that when you go into God's presence, there should be no distractions. God wants you prepared. I don't know if you have a particular time set aside in your day or not to spend with God, but you need to, and you need to be ready for that time, and it needs to be consistent. Psalm 66, verse 18 says this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." You need to be ready. The iniquity needs to be purged. And if you're getting ready to enter into the presence of God and you know that there is iniquity in your heart, there is some area of sin in your heart that you're aware of, that's the first thing you need to take care of. I'm just going to repeat some things that I've said before because it bears repeating and we need to hear it. God has given the church the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a way of God forcing us to face our sins and to evaluate ourselves before we come into His presence in the Lord's Supper. It is an ordinance of the church. It is not a sacrament. It does not contribute to our salvation. It is a command that God gives us so that we can worship Jesus and look back at the sacrificial death. It is also a time for us to look forward and anticipate His coming. And it is a reminder of what Jesus did for us and how He is going to fulfill all that He has promised us. All of that is wrapped up in the Lord's Supper. And it is commanded of the church. It is given to the church to do that. And we do that here on an average of once a month. Sometimes it varies a little bit. But in the process of preparing for that Lord's Supper, there is a time of examination. And God tells us to examine ourselves before we partake because it gives us an opportunity to evaluate our lives to see if there's any sin in our lives. And in doing that, we have to face it before we partake. And so God leaves us no choice but to examine ourselves on a regular basis. And we need to keep short accounts with God, and we need to be prepared. We need to be ready when we enter into His presence. And I'm convinced that there are some people who are, they try to have devotions during the day, and it's just dry for them. And the main reason is because there's issues in their life that they just won't allow God to remove. So be ready. And then He says to do it in the morning. Be ready in the morning. And come up in the morning. Two times in this verse, God instructs Moses to do it in the morning. And in verse number 4, it tells us that Moses rose up early in the morning. Y'all have heard me talk about this book before, but it bears repeating. We have a book at home that talks about the devotional lives of particular men of God throughout the modern times within the past couple centuries. And the author who wrote the book said that he has studied the devotional life of men of God for the past however many centuries that he had access to the recordings. And as he would study the lives of men of God who made great impacts on their generation, he said, without fail, without any exception, every one of these men of God had one thing in common. Their life may vary in different details, but there was one thing that every one of them did, and that was they rose early in the morning and spent time alone with God every day. Some of them at 5 a.m., some of them at 4 a.m., some of them an hour, some of them 2 hours. Some of them would even go longer if the day allowed it or if the demands were great enough for it. And without a doubt and without exception, that early morning time with God prepared them for their day. Do you want to grow in your relationship with God? Get up in the morning and spend time with Him and start your day. Listen, if you're going to get up early in the morning, what does that mean that you need to do at night? Go to bed early. That's pretty simple, isn't it? We can figure that out. If I mention the name Charles Finney, some of you will know who that is. He was a great preacher of the 1800s in America. He was one of the leaders of the second great awakening in our nation. And he made this statement. He said one of his biggest interrupters to his morning devotions was letting business keep him up late at night. Listen, you can't stay up late with Tucker Carlson if you plan to get up early and spend time with God, right? Make sure that God gets the position that he deserves, that is first place. Prepare your heart to meet with God in the morning. But then he says this, look in verse number 2, he says, be ready in the morning and come up. Do you see those two words? You must come. There's effort on your part. You must come. Jesus invites us to come boldly into the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. But you have to enter. You have to exercise the effort. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, Peter said, Lord, bid me come unto thee. Jesus said one word, come. Peter stepped out onto the water, and he did something that no other man had ever done outside of Jesus Christ. He walked on water. And when you come up, you are coming into the presence of the supernatural. You need to be prepared to meet with God. There's beautiful imagery in this simple statement, come up. Think about that for just a moment. Come up. It indicates which direction you're going when you enter into God's presence. You have to make the effort. You have to come. But when you come before God, you are coming up. You're going upward. It is indicated even in the Lord's sample prayer. When the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art, what's the next two words? In heaven. Jesus directed our thoughts toward heaven. When you enter into God's presence, you are coming up. Think about Peter again. When Peter stepped out on that water, and he got distracted by the storm and the waves around him, and he got his eyes off of Jesus. He began to sink, and when that happened, he cried one short prayer. It is, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and pulled him up out of the water, and that he was surrounded. And sometimes I feel like we get so surrounded by the circumstances of the storms and the noise all around us that we don't look up and say, God, would you save me? And allow Jesus just to reach down and to pull us up above those circumstances. What beautiful imagery. He'll do it for you. He wants to. So let me say this, be ready. Make the effort and step up onto higher ground. But then there's this statement in here. He said, come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me. present thyself. Now let's talk about prayer for just a moment. Oftentimes we get the idea that prayer is all about us taking our request to God so that we can receive. God, would you give me this? God, would you do this? And you know what? Those things are legitimate. Those are a part of prayer. We're invited to do those things. But I want us to understand that one of the most precious parts of spending time with God in prayer, part of it is praise. We have opportunity to praise God right in His presence when we are in prayer. But one of the greatest precious parts of it is the opportunity to present yourself to God. And maybe we don't understand the concept. But when you present yourself to God, you are basically saying, God, I am prepared to be used by you. And I'm going to tell you, when you present yourself to God, you need to be ready to be used. When you come before God and say, God, here I am. When you come before God and say, God, I surrender my will to yours, then you better be ready to be used. I'm going to tell you that I understand this concept a little better now than I used to, even a few years ago. I love to claim God's promises, and I know there are people in here that do that as well, and I love to claim God's promises, and when I pray, I love to pray God's promises. And one morning, as I was burdened down with some issues, I was praying things like, God, would you give me wisdom in this? God, would you give me your direction in this? God, would you give me wisdom in this area? And it just seemed like God said, you know what, son, why don't you hold on just a minute? Can we just start with you presenting yourself to me? And I stopped and I said, God, before I ask you to give me anything, can I just say, God, here I am. Would you take me? Don't give, take. And from that point forward, I was able to pray with a spirit of presentation before my God. God, here I am. Take me, use me, mold me, teach me. Make me your servant. David prayed in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That was David presenting himself before God. God, search me. Know my heart. God, try me. Know my thoughts. And he's asking God from different perspectives. He's saying, search me, try me, know me, lead me. And all of this was David just presenting himself before God. And I'm going to tell you, David was a man who had sinned in his life, but he was also a man who, when God put his finger on that sin, broke down and surrendered and said, God, forgive me, and yielded to God. He had no problem presenting himself before God, a living sacrifice. Isaiah presented himself before God in Isaiah chapter 6 when the Lord said, Who will we send? Isaiah said this, then said I, Lord, here am I, send me. It was not an easy task that he had prayed. Not an easy task that he had volunteered to do. He had volunteered to go to Israel, who was rejecting God at that time. God said, all right, I'll send you. Isaiah said, how long do you want me to go? And God said, until there's nobody else to talk to. Keep going, Isaiah. The Apostle Paul presented himself to God in the book of Acts when he was thrown off of his donkey. And it says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He just found out that he was face to face with Jesus Christ, the man who he had been persecuting. Through persecuting the church of Christ, he was persecuting Jesus Christ. And Jesus knocked him off of his donkey, got his attention. And Paul looked to God and said, what will you have me to do? Here I am. I'll do whatever you want. Present thyself to me. Have you done that? Why won't God give us the things sometimes that we pray for? Why is it that we pray for this or for that and God chooses not to give them to us? There may be a number of reasons why, but I'm going to offer up one suggestion this morning. Maybe it's that He can't trust you with it. Maybe it's that you've never presented yourself to God completely and wholly in full surrender. And Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do and however you want me to serve you, Lord, I am willing to do it, even the hard stuff. If, like Moses, you go with me and give me your presence, I'm willing. Do you want to grow in your relationship with God? Do you want to grow in your Bible reading? Do you want to grow in your prayer? Do you want to grow in your Christian walk with God? Then present yourself to God in the morning with a mind and a heart that is prepared. Present thyself to me. This is no ordinary presentation. This is the God who made you, the God who sees right into your heart, the God who can give you the most fulfilled life you have ever desired. And that does not include material possessions unless God chooses to include those. That includes surrender and a peace that passeth all understanding. And that rest in the midst of turmoil that we sang about this morning. There is no greater service that you can do on this earth than to present yourself to God. But then be ready. Because if you pray, Lord, search me and know my heart and try me and know my thoughts, God will do it. And God will put His finger on something in your life. And step by step, as you grow and He points out things, before long, you're going to be closer and closer to God than you had ever imagined. Present yourself to God and be prepared. And it's interesting the way that God says it here, and I don't think it's by accident. Present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. Oh, I love that imagery. I put a Bible on this on the backdrop here. I started by putting a mountain in the backdrop of this, a mountain peak, just to communicate this message. Decided the Bible was better. But I want you to think about this for just a moment. Once you get a taste of the top of the mountain, and you are on the top of that mountain with your God, you will see that nothing else compares. We'll see that in this passage as we go on. The hymn writer said it this way: I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught a joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Praise God for that. Be prepared to go to the top of the mountain with God if you truly want to grow. Look at verse number 3. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. What do we see in verse number 3? We see isolation. Listen, God wants you alone with Him. God wants a time, listen to me please, God wants a time with just you. God wants that. Please understand, God wants your attention. A lot of the troubles and the frustrations of this world began to take on a new look when you are on the top of the mountain alone with God. Do you hear me? A lot of the frustrations and the troubles of this world begin to take on a totally new look when you are on top of the mountain alone with God. God said, I don't want any man with you. I don't want any animals on the mountain. Moses, this is my time with you. I want you to be isolated with me. You need to set aside a time where that you can spend time with God alone in prayer, alone in Bible reading. All the troubles and the frustrations of the world begin to fall into proper perspective when we're on the mountain with God, because we begin to see the world and all of its events from God's viewpoint. You know, prayer may or may not change all of your circumstances. Odds are prayer will not change all of your circumstances. You know what prayer changes? You. Prayer changes you. When you get alone with God and you're isolated with God and you begin to pray out to God in a prayer of presentation and in a prayer of praise and in a prayer of preparation, and when you are alone with God and God has your attention and God is growing you and you are in full surrender to your God, it will change who you are. Now, God wants a time of corporate prayer too. God even makes promises for corporate prayer, where two or three are gathered in my name. It's in the context of the church. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And we certainly have times of corporate prayer. We did yesterday, we had a prayer meeting. This Wednesday night, we'll have a prayer meeting. And God wants us in corporate prayer. And there are folks in this room that need to get a hold of that and need to participate in that corporate prayer. But I got to tell you, God also wants a time of personal, isolated prayer with Him. And if you want to grow in grace, you're going to do it. If you're going to grow in grace, you're going to do both. You're going to take advantage of both of those prayers, corporate and private. Well, then we get to verse number 4. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. You know what I see in this? Here it is. Expectation. He got up early. He did the preparation. He did all that he was supposed to do. And he got up and he went up onto the mountain and he took the stones like he was supposed to do. And he said, God, I'm here. I am going to get up early and I'm going to take care of it. I love the way it states here in verse number 2. God says in the morning. And in verse number 4, Moses didn't waste any time. He rose up early in the morning. That's the word used. When you spend time with God, remember, God's word will not return void. I understand that we all go through times of overflowing in our personal walk with God. We all go through times of overflowing and times of dryness. And maybe you've never been consistent enough with your prayer time and your Bible reading to experience this. But there's going to be times as you go through your private time with God in Bible reading and prayer, there's going to be times where God is going to feed you. You're going to be overflowing. There's going to be joy. And there's going to be times where it seems a little bit dry. And let me just say this as we talk about it, because I don't think that this is unintentional. But please understand this, that when you go through dry spells, you just need to keep up doing what you know is right. Don't give up. Don't give in. One preacher put it this way one time. Somebody said to him, Pastor, I just don't get anything out of my Bible reading. It just doesn't do anything for me. And I walk away not knowing any more than I did when I picked it up. And the pastor said this. He said, look, listen, when you take a strainer and you put when you pour water through a strainer, it doesn't maintain a lot of water, but it sure keeps the strainer clean in the process. Stick it out. I want to say this, that here lies one of the differences between the mature child of God and the immature child of God. The immature child of God will say, there's no benefit. I'm not getting anything. What's the use? And they foolishly set aside the richest source that they have, their Bible, and they don't understand that God doesn't always want it to be easy for us. When we say, I don't get anything out of it, we put up our Bible, we set it aside, and we don't spend time with God, we don't open it, we don't read it, we don't get on our knees and pray to God in the morning. When we set those things aside, we are setting aside the greatest, richest blessings that we can have from by understanding God and His Word. And you think that God wants to just give it to you and make it easy for you all the time. When we understand that God wants us to exercise ourselves in His Word and in prayer. And that word exercise is a good word to use here. Down close to where we live, as my wife and I drive up here toward this area, there's a baseball field, and they have little league players out there, and it's kind of neat to watch those little kids running around, you know, and you see their little coach, excuse me, the coaches are not little, you see the coaches with the little children, and they're throwing balls, and they're making it easy for them to catch, and that's the way they do it at the beginning, right? But eventually, the coach isn't going to throw such an easy ball, right? He's going to throw it a little off to the side. Why would he do that? You know why he does that, because the kid needs to stretch a little bit to catch it, right? Because in the real game, it's not always that easy. Balls don't come flying straight to you so that you can catch them, right? There has to be work in the real game. And when God wants us to get into His Word, there are times where God will give us things that overflow our hearts with joy. And there are times where God says, you know what, I'm going to make it a little bit more effort this morning, because in real life, you've got to be able to see me even when it's not easy. Can we say amen to that? You can approach God with expectation of receiving something. Every time. I guarantee you can, but you need to be ready to work. Rightly dividing the word of truth is the phrase that Paul uses, and I'm telling you that rightly dividing the word of truth is not always that easy. Moses had to hew out two tables of stone. I'm glad I don't have to do that every morning before I have my devotions. Now, we all understand that Moses broke the first two. I kind of think it's funny that God reminds him here, you better hew out two tables of stone, just like the first two which thou breakest. But I would say by the time he got up early, by the time he had those tables of stone hewed out, by the time he climbed up to the very top of the mountain and he met with God, do you think it was worth it? You better believe it was worth it. And if you have to get up early and you have to set some things aside so that you have time with God, and if you have to work a little bit, and if you have to pray, and if you have to cry out to God to open your eyes and your heart and your mind, I think it'll be well worth it, don't you? Look at verse number 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse number 5, I see there was revelation. I love this verse. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Isn't that beautiful? Moses hewed out the stone. Moses got up early. Moses made sure the people knew that this was just him and God. Moses made sure he climbed that mountain and was there when God told him to be there. And after he did these things and his heart was prepared and he went up to God, God reached down to him. I love the imagery. In my mind, I see this picture of Moses on the mountain and this cloud descending upon him and God standing there in a form that we can't recognize because God is a spirit, but God standing beside Moses. Some of you in here this morning know what it's like to be in a time with God where you have His Word open and you are praying to God. And you know God's presence and you know He's given you something that morning. There are some of us in this room that know that without a doubt. The Lord descended and stood with him. Moses did the preparation. He made the effort. He went up and God came to meet him. God will do the same for you. And let me just throw in a side note here. When you read your Bible, please use a real Bible. And you may ask what I mean by that. I'm talking about the printed page. If you use an electronic device, and I'm grateful for them. I'm glad that I've got a Bible on my phone. Yesterday morning in the men's Bible study, I made a comment. I said, there's a verse in the book of Psalms. I can't remember where it's at. And I gave a little bit of the verse, and immediately a couple guys whipped out their phone. One of them said, Bible app, Bible app, Bible app. There it was. They found the verse. They didn't go, that was me. Okay. So I appreciate that, but I'm going to tell you, If you try to use your phone to have your devotions, it's the same device that you use to connect with the world, right? And there's just something about using my phone that does not say, I'm alone with God. Set the world aside. Spend time with God. Pick up His Word. Underline it. Write in it. Take notes. And enjoy it. And now, let me say this as you pick up God's Word. These are just some practical things. I want you to look for some things, and like I said, these are suggestions to help you growing in your time with God. And we're going to see these things in the passage. We're not going to take time to look at the rest of the chapter, but we're going to read a few verses further. And I want you to do this as you read. Look for things. Look for God's character. We're going to see some of that in this passage. And when you see God's character in His Word, take time to stop and worship Him. Look for biblical principles to apply. As we were reading through Exodus 33, I brought out a principle from verse number 11 about the influence of godly mentorship. Look for principles that you can apply to your life as you read through God's Word. Look for promises to claim. I mentioned one earlier in this sermon. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. That is a promise that I don't want to miss out on. So I'm going to be at corporate prayer meetings because I love the promises of God and I want to take advantage of them. Or look for a command to keep. God gives us plenty of directives in His Word. And we don't like that word command because we like to be independent. But the truth is God gives us commands and they need to be kept, right? Y'all are not so sure about that. God gives us commands and they need to be kept. And we need to look for them so that we do God's work God's way. Now in the next few verses, we see all of these four areas. And I'm just giving you these four areas that as you read God's Word, if you want to grow in grace, look for these things in God's Word and then apply them to your life. Look at verse number 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. And some of y'all are wondering, why does he do that twice? The word Lord is the word, you see it's all in capitals. That is translated from the word Jehovah or Yahweh, depending on which pronunciation you want. So the word means the self-existent one. So God is saying, I am the self-existent one. That's a characteristic of God that we can worship. But then he says, I'm the Lord God. That is, and the word El, God is the word El, as in Elohim. It means strong one. That is the name that is given to us in Genesis 1. In the beginning, El created the heaven and the earth. That is God. God created the heaven and the earth. So he's saying, I am the ultimate strong one. So Lord God is the self-existent strong one. So these names have meaning. And we can learn the character of God. He says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. God is merciful. He's willing to forgive our sins. He's gracious. He's willing to extend strength and blessings to us that we don't deserve. He is long-suffering. He is patient with us in the midst of our weaknesses. God is abundant in goodness and truth. That is, God is good every moment of every day. And I see God's character. Can I read that verse and say, God, I praise your name because you are merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. You are Lord God. Can I do that in my devotions? Look for God's character. Jonathan Edwards said it this way. He's the man that preached the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He said this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and because his compassions fail not. Aren't you grateful? As you read God's Word, look for characteristics. God is teaching us something, Christian, in this passage. As he spent time with Moses, he's literally giving us an example of how we can grow in our relationship with him. Look at verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. You know what I see in that verse? God is merciful, but he's pure. God is merciful, but he's pure. He's willing to forgive if we repent. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Well, there's so much more that we can say on this. We're going to let it go, but I'm just going to say this. When we read through here, there are things that we can pull out and learn. There are principles from God's word that I can apply in my life, particularly the way that my sin affects my children. We see that in verse 7. I'd love to park on that. You all know that's one of the areas that I would love to park on. But for the sake of time this morning, we're going to move on. But let me say this, there are clear principles here that we can pull out. Look at verse 8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Wow. Moses spent time with God, didn't he? Moses learned about God. And Moses learned about himself. And he worshiped Almighty God. Christian, are there things that we can learn from this passage? There sure are. I trust that you will and that you'll apply them in your life.